This is Daphne Ashbrook, and you have reached a higher level of Nerdvana.
Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast.
Robo fucking cop.
As far as I'm concerned, Bruce Willis can go eat a bag of dicks. Get off my shit.
Confessions of a Movie Snob.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast. I am your intrepid and your awesome host, Aaron.
Oh, since when are you awesome?
Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Tuesday. I got my certification on Tuesday, my awesome certification.
Okay, so it's a recent development, and you weren't just blowing smoke up my ass all these years.
No.
Okay, good enough.
No, I wasn't faking being stupid to, like, you know, make you feel better or anything.
Oh, okay, because I think a lot of people do that.
Sure, as I probably do. And if you guys are listening in, you might hear a condescending giggle on the other line that does not sound like Ethan at all. That is my other podcasting brother. That is Manuel Carmona from Truthful Comics Podcast. Say hello, Manuel. Or Alex.
Hello, Manuel.
Fire. Oh, Jesus Christ. Are we getting into this shit again?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Who's on first?
I don't know. No, I don't know. Who's on third, I think. At any rate, we are here tonight to talk about something that we're being topical. We're all kind of topical this year. It seems like we did lots of shows this year in response to things that happened in the news. But tonight, we are going to talk about what we feel makes a good cinematic Batman. And we'll get to why we're doing that in the Geekly Happenings. But before we get into any of that, we do have our little segment that we like to call Geekly Happenings, news relevant to us geeks. Ethan, what has happened this week beyond the big news?
Beyond the whole Miley Cyrus thing? Oh, wait, yeah, we don't give a shit about that. Never mind.
Oh,
gosh. Really, the only thing that I've been paying attention to, just upon cursory glance, was the... Now, I don't think it's been confirmed yet, but the whole Bryan Cranston stuff.
No, that is not confirmed. But
yeah.
It kind of smells like one of those things that's everything but. You know, this isn't like, you know, crazy, stupid, fanboy bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this keeps coming out of, like, so many different... different avenues, that it sounds like it's real, because the same news keeps coming from so many different places. And, but the news is that Bryan Cranston is signed to play Lex Luthor in Man of Steel 2, whatever they decide to call it. I hope they don't call it Man of Steel 2. I hope they come up with some kind of better title.
Yes.
But that he would be playing Lex Luthor in, yeah, that movie. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and I think what we said then was it sounded like it was down between Mark Strong and Cranston. I think we said whoever wins, we all win, because either of those people are great, and Cranston's fantastic. Right now, the scuttlebutt around it sounds like he has signed, but what they're doing is they're pushing back the actual, you know, confirmation of the news to when the Breaking Bad series finale premieres, which would be September 29th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will come out around there to kind of get more buzz for... it makes good logistical sense to release it around there, because people will be like, oh, I love Breaking Bad. Let's look up Bryan Cranston. Holy shit, he's going to play Lex Luthor. Let's go give him money.
Yes.
Now, Ethan and I are fine with this. We like Bryan Cranston. What are your thoughts on this, Manuel? I know we talked a little bit about it. You said he was a little too old, but beyond that... I mean, do you really have an opinion?
I mean, I honestly don't watch Breaking Bad. So that's why I was telling you that, yeah, I'm probably the only human on planet Earth that doesn't watch that show.
I had to put a gun from to make him do it.
No, you didn't have to put a gun to my head. I just had to get to it.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I fucking love that show.
I still haven't seen the last season of Battlestar Galactica, for crying out loud, so...
So what? Beastar G. But, you're just not very familiar with him, correct, Manuel?
Yeah, no, I'm not familiar with him. But from what I've heard from everybody, he seems like a good call. I did read that the whole reason they went that route with him, between him and Mark Strong, was that there was some speculation that Mark Strong might, there was a possibility that he might come back as Sinestro.
Correct. And
neither here nor there. That's just, you know.
Correct. Now, the thing about that would be that has any credence to it whatsoever is when they asked him about it, they said his exact quote was "Watch this space." And so what that, you know, that can mean a lot of things, but what, like, one thing it could mean, granted, you know, it's just flat out pure speculation on my part, but what it could mean is, you know, keep watching his face, because he was talking to Comic Book Resources, I believe, and Comic Book Resources would fly with the news that they're moving forward with something with Sinestro, you know. For all we know, he'll be the bad guy in Man of Steel 2. We don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'd be fine. Anything that gives me more Mark Strong Sinestro is fine, and Bryan Cranston as Lex Luthor would be good. He will be excellent. I mean, it's paying him a disservice, but he's just a really dependable actor. I mean, he's very good, but he's also he's very much a character actor. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, he's very good, and he's, if nothing else in Breaking Bad, he's proven to us that, you know, that they can pull up that sinister bastard that we would need for somebody like Lex Luthor, on top of that, the intelligence. So, yeah. If that comes out to be true, it'll be good. It'll be good.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those things that, like we said in our Breaking Bad episode, was it's no matter who, if it's down to those two guys, whoever gets it, it's we win. So, I mean, ultimately, I'm happy seeing either of them in there.
And you know what? At the time, I said between the two of them, I prefer Mark Strong, mm-hmm. but I probably should have added an addendum to that. That if it means that I get that if I get Cranston instead of Mark Strong, because I'm also going to get further Sinestro, then absolutely, because I loved him as Sinestro. I thought he was very good as Sinestro. Okay, what else we got, Ethan?
One, I didn't know that there was a Spawn movie in the works.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
From you know, obviously Todd McFarlane being involved, he says that it's in negotiation. He's gonna it's like the thing that's slowing it down is he wants to write, produce it, and direct it. McFarlane.
Well, that'll never happen then.
Yeah, and he wants to make it more like a horror film.
Yeah,
and that so would work. You know, I think Spawn is one of those that. I don't know. It seems like something that would be easily financed at this point, because comic book movies are just, you know, are the thing. But especially if he's writing, directing, and producing it, it's one that I think would aim to be slightly better than the first incarnation.
I like the first one okay. I mean, it wasn't awful, but it wasn't great. I mean, it was a late 90s comic book movie. I mean, it was pretty par for the course for what was coming out at the time.
Yep.
Yeah. It can be real cool. I mean, if they do it right, if McFarlane is, you know, involved, and he's actually involved, and he actually gets it done on time, unlike he ever got a single comic book made in his entire fucking career, maybe
yeah.
It'd be cool. Maybe it'd be cool. And you know, it could be like one of those, I don't care what they do with this. It's not going to be a knockout success. I could see something like this turning into a cult classic. I mean, if they just did it well, and they did it earnestly, and they really pumped up the horror aspects, I could see it being a really cool movie.
Yeah. Sort of on more comic book news, I know you told me that they are in talks with Elizabeth Olsen.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
That is badass. Now, are you aware of this at all, Manuel?
I don't know. For what?
For Scarlet Witch in the Avengers 2.
Yeah, I've heard a few names being mentioned, but yeah.
But yeah, Elizabeth Olsen is in negotiations to play the role. I mean, that is, I don't want to get into a cock measuring contest with you, but it is confirmed. I'm using that word loosely. It is confirmed she is in negotiations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, like, you know, she has expressed interest, and the studio says that, like, you know, if they can, you know, come to an agreement, that they should do it. Now, do you know her at all, Manuel?
No, by name.
She is Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's little sister.
Mm-hmm.
However,
do not hold
that against her. She actually has talent. She is a very good actress. She was in a movie called Macy May, May Marlene that came out a year or two ago that was just fucking fantastic.
Yeah, Martha Marcy May Marlene. Yeah, that's it.
Did you see that, Ethan?
No, I haven't.
Jesus Christ, that was an intense movie. It was really good. And then she was also in a Silent House, which I hated. I wanted to shoot that movie into the sun, but, you know, whatever. But she is a very talented actress, and she would really, you know, first off, I think she would play well opposite What's-His-Nuts that's playing Quicksilver.
Yeah.
I think she would play, now, have you heard that one, Manuel? Did you see
that? Yeah, the guy from Kick-Ass?
He's doing Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2, and I know him mostly from The Office. I think
oddly, all of these people we've sort of mentioned here, Elizabeth Olsen, Bryan Cranston, and Aaron Taylor Johnson, are all in this new Godzilla movie.
Really?
Yes.
Now, Manuel's all about that, but he's weird. He liked the 98 version of... That movie blew, but whatever, dude. I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you liked it. The Iguana movie.
Yes.
That's cool. And since we're just in the speculation mode here, and now, have you heard of the name that's being kicked around for Rocket Raccoon?
Yes, I have. I saw that it's they're eyeing up Bradley Cooper, which seems interesting.
My God.
What's your thoughts about that?
I think it's a hopeful one, given how, I mean, it's sort of like saying, hey, we want Benedict Cumberbatch to do, you know, this, this, and this. It's a, or we want Benedict Cumberbatch to be the new Doctor Who. It's a, well, he's kind of busy, but we are talking voice work, so it's, I think it would come down to if it's something that he's passionate about, because he has so many other offers out there. Uh-huh. If it's down to something that, hey, yeah, I really want to do this, then he'll do it.
I think that he's fully capable of doing it. He is a good actor. I think they could do it better. I think they could find somebody better, somebody that actually, you know, has a British accent. That'd be handy. But, you know, whatever. I mean, he's a good actor. He's a capable actor. My main thoughts on it is, you know, if they left it up to me for some reason, I would say no, because I wouldn't want to tie him up from future comic book movie projects. I would much rather see him playing, like, you know, Barry Allen, Wally West, somebody like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Fucking the voice of Rocket Raccoon. I mean, Bradley Cooper's a hot commodity right now. And to tie him up in voice work just seems kind of, I don't know, just seems kind of wasteful to me.
I think it's an ambitious thing. When I first saw the news come out about the whole Bradley Cooper thing, it was kind of, really kind of hit me as odd.
I mean, it's just like, he'd be fine because he's a good actor. But
yeah.
It just seems like a waste of his talents and his clout at the moment, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I have no problem with Bradley Cooper. I think you're right, he could definitely do it, but, you know, I don't see why he wouldn't, you know, want to be, you know, a Wally West or Barry Allen or something like that, and that's the DC side, but he could also be, hell, he could be anything else, even he could be a ton of things on the Marvel side even too, so.
Thoughts about Bradley Cooper as Rocket Raccoon, Manuel?
Well, I mean,
Leandro.
Like you say, yeah, I think, if you're gonna tie him up for a Marvel property, you might as well tie him up for something like Ant-Man or something like that. You don't want to put him on a, you know, he's a box office, you know, people go and want to see him act. A voiceover, it doesn't really, I wouldn't put that much money for him to be a voice actor.
Yeah. It seems like an awful waste, honestly.
Yeah. I think that's what we're coming down to right here. I mean, yeah. Okay. Anything else before the big one?
I got nothing more. I got nothing more to say.
Today is Jack Kirby's birthday.
Oh.
Wanted to put that out there. That's
happy birthday to the Master Jack.
Isn't he dead?
Yes, he's been dead for 20. He's been dead for 20 years.
Dead a long time. It seems like I remember when he died.
94.
Yeah.
Like right while I was like, you know, really having the comic book. But,
yeah.
But his impact will never go away. So, cool. Okay then, gentlemen. Why don't we talk about Batfleck? by Batfleck, obviously, and unless you're living under a rock, and, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably follow somewhat comic book movie news, or you have my fucking telephone number and you goddamn texted me that Ben Affleck is going to be playing Batman in the Superman versus Batman movie, the follow-up to Man of Steel. Yeah, when I say that, I shit you not, I probably got 50 texts from people telling me this, you know, like hours, some of them a day or more after the news came out, because everyone, you know, and I appreciate it, because, like, yeah, this is something Aaron would want to know, but obviously Aaron probably knew about it within 10 minutes of it becoming true.
Right.
Now, okay, before we kind of get into us about it, this is not something that has been universally loved. Some people really don't dig it. And there's been some crazy shit to happen because of it. And looks like we keep losing Manuel. What the fuck?
We do. But yes, this is one thing that set the internet afire.
Yes. And as I called back in March, the summer of the butthurt fanboy, I called my shot. Well, this is the home run. I mean, this is just people acting like fucking idiots.
Yes.
You know, just... You know, I'm not saying you have to like it, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. Go ahead.
And this is like the perfect punctuation mark to the Summer of the Butthurt fanboy.
It is.
You know, you'd think that someone came and raped their mothers.
Oh, God. You know, it's just like I keep saying, you know, it's not like it's Carrot Top or Oliver Platt either. I mean, it's somebody that is, you know, pretty much, you know, somebody that you would kind of expect, really. You kind of expect for the role. Why don't we try to get Manuel back in here? Okay, so Manuel brought up an awesome point earlier, that when Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker, people were unhappy about that.
Yeah.
I do think that the internet broke is a little bit hyperbolic, but it's okay.
Yeah.
He got his point across.
Yeah, Manuel, I missed most of what you said about, you wrote up a post about it, so, and then you got sort of cut off.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote a post about it saying basically that, I mean, people, comic book fans seem to freak out in a frenzy, exactly, over every single thing. Man, just relax, give the guy a break. He has, he's as good an actor as anybody out there.
Oh, yeah.
There's been actors that have been considered a joke or whatever for years, and all of a sudden they give the performance of their lifetime. You never know.
Oh yeah, going all the way back to Tim Burton Batman. I mean, when Michael Keaton was announced, there was a huge.
Exactly.
I mean, we didn't have the internet for people to voice it, but
there you go, Ethan. You nailed something for me, because a lot of people have been making the connection to Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton, and they're saying that this is a bigger reaction than Michael Keaton. And I don't know if I agree with that,
yeah.
Because there wasn't the internet then.
Exactly.
And I think that just any asshole that, you know, knows how to put three words together, you know, fuck Ben Affleck, and, you know, they think that's legitimate.
Well,
and, you know,
if you sit back and actually think about this whole development and with Ben Affleck saying yes and taking this part, he has said, he's on record as saying, you know, that he hasn't been interested in the last several years in taking roles that he's not directing. Not saying, oh, he's going to direct this, he's going to direct, you know, Justice League or anything. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But what this says to me is, one, he's really passionate about the part, and he really wants to do it. And it's something that he's very much, he very much wants to do, to be able to basically go back on that tenet of what he was saying, I'm going to be very picky about what I take, to open himself up to this kind of a shitstorm from fans. It's
well,
like, well,
exactly.
It means he really wants to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Ethan touched on it before, and people have this retarded way of thinking about Ben Affleck. Now, and I'm using retarded in the actual sense of the word. I'm not talking Down syndrome or something. Just, you know, retarded. They're slow about him because they're all like, you know, fucking boo because he was in, you know, Daredevil and Geely and Jersey Girl and, you know, Armageddon and et cetera. And that was 10, 15 years ago. Okay, yeah, that's true. But B, what just happened last year with Ben Affleck? He had Argo. It won fucking Best Picture at the Oscars. If you remember right, and if your memory is longer than a week, like Ethan and mine's happens to be, we remember the outcry, the fury at him not being nominated for Best Director.
Yeah.
I mean, people were furious about that. And then, you know, and then I guarantee you, the same fucking people that were bitching and moaning about him not, you know, being nominated for a director are probably bitching about him getting this role. And again, Ethan hit a good point earlier to where he is literally, he has never been at a higher point in his career.
Yeah.
Never. He might have had a higher payday in his career, probably. But he has never been in a higher point in his career critically. And he has says that, you know, that he is a very wealthy man, and he makes no bones about it. And he has said before that he's only going to do what he wants to do and what he's very passionate about, which makes me think, okay, that means that he's very passionate about this role.
Yeah.
And, I'm good with it. It's like, I had a quick little, like, reaction when it happened, you know, because it was a week ago that this news came out. I think it was a week ago last Thursday, and I read it, like, right as I got out of work. And, like, my initial reaction was more or less meh. I mean, I was far from angry. I think I was basically like, at least it's not Carrot Top, at least it's not, you know, fucking Oliver Platt or whatever. And then I stopped and I thought about it, and bearing in mind, this is probably all a split second in my ADD-riddled brain, but it dawned on me that, you know, that his character in Argo is so much like what he needs to play for Batman that this makes, you know, really good sense, and that he is at the top of his career. He's never been better. He's never been more respected. I mean, he's really come back from a huge shitstorm. I mean, a lot of people that aren't, you know, our age aren't going to remember fucking the Gigli years. I mean, good God.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some bad stuff that was going on with this guy. And, you know, I actually, you know, went from, okay, whatever, to I guarantee you he's going to be fine. I guarantee you that.
But oh, yeah.
I also think he might be awesome. Mm-hmm. I think he might be really fucking good at this. And if he isn't awesome, I wouldn't blame him. Because he has proven to me that he has the chops, that he has the abilities, he basically just needs the material. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, like, when did he start, you know, start gaining our respect? I mean, he won an Oscar for Good Will Hunting, which he fucking co-wrote. And then he started getting acclaim with, like, The Town, which he wrote and directed, with fucking, or I'm sorry, not The Town, Gone Baby Gone. And then The Town, and then fucking Argo. I mean, when he is in control of things, he does a good job. So that leads me to think that maybe some of the stuff, and you know, I hate to say it, but maybe some of the Kevin Smith stuff, some of the stuff that he takes a lot of shit for, is because he wasn't more directly involved. And so, I'm actually excited about this.
Yeah.
And I also recently rewatched Daredevil, and it isn't a bad movie.
No.
I like Daredevil.
It's not a great movie, but it's not a bad movie.
Have you guys seen the director's cut?
Oh, God, it's so much better. It is so much better.
I mean, the theatrical one is okay. The director's cut adds another 30 minutes into the movie, and it makes much more sense, and it's good.
The last fight with Kingpin isn't like three moves like it was in the theatrical, and it explains why the cops are showing up, and I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that's much better explained. I mean, it's a pretty good movie. I mean, I'm not gonna call it great, but in the case of Daredevil, I mean, anything that didn't work with it, it wasn't Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck turned in a perfectly serviceable job in that movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm okay with it. It sounds like these guys are okay with it. Now, in order for us to be okay with it, we kind of have to have an idea in our brains about what would make for a good Batman. And I think that's basically what we're going to be talking about tonight. Mm-hmm. And to get it, you know, just to get it out there, to get it out of the way, I think that the first iota of me being like enthusiastic about Affleck was his age.
Yeah.
And I, you know, Tyler Hoechlin, I think, is a good actor, but I'm glad that he didn't turn out being Batman because he's 25 years old. And it's like I said, like the day I found out about it, one day I'm going to have to deal with knowing that I'm older than Batman, but today is not that day. You know, Ben Affleck is 41 years old. And so, you know, that's going to play opposite Henry Cavill. What is he, 30? I think he's 31. But he, you know, maybe about 10 years older. So we're going to have that going for him. That means that we're going to have a certainly established Batman working for us in this. So I don't have to see another fucking, hey, why is Batman story? Another
origin.
another origin story. I don't need that. I think everybody knows who the fuck Batman is and where he came from. We don't need it. And if they do do it, it's like I said when they announced Superman versus Batman, that at least it's going to be through a prism of a different perspective.
Yeah.
Because like in Batman Begins and in the 89 Batman and stuff like that, you know, it's from like almost an invisible narrator's point of view where it's explained to the audience, you know, at the very least, and the Superman versus Batman movie, it's going to be from Superman's point of view or Lex's point of view or whomever, and at least it's going to be different. And so it's got that going for it. I mean, what do you guys think? What do you want to see out of a Batman in a movie?
You know, it's one of these. I mean, how many actors have portrayed Batman at this
point? Nine.
Nine?
Well, eight since Affleck hasn't done it yet. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, this is a long line of actors that have played this role, and it's a pretty damn iconic role. I mean, it's huge in pop culture. Well, no, it is. It's totally, it is, you know, it's...
Yes, Batman is very iconic, Ethan.
And so taking on a role like this, you really have to take into, account this last, you know, 60, 70, 80 years of material and of preconceived notions. And so you've had all of these actors who have done that, who have come in and stepped into those shoes. It is it really is just a very daunting thing. And obviously, as times change, as eras go by, you get different styles of Batman because, I mean, Batman is what he is at the time, you know, and, nowadays, Batman is very much colored by the films and by, you know, obviously The Dark Knight Returns back in the 1980s was a huge influence on how Batman has been shaped over the last 30 years. And...
Christ, that is almost 30 years ago, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Get off my lawn.
I know.
God. I can't believe that was that long ago. Go ahead.
It's just about. I think it came out in 1986.
86.
Yeah.
86. Yeah.
Yep. So I mean, it's over 25 years now. So
that's fuck it. I remember when that shit came out. I remember when there were. Mm-hmm. I remember when the single issues were on the shelves on the rack. I mean, god damn. But whatever. I'm old. I'll deal with that later.
But it's definitely one of those things that you have this big role, you have this big character. I mean, it's almost like a James Bond style. I think it's even dwarfs James Bond at certain points, you know.
But again,
I was just going to say again, I mean, I don't know if I'm just being particularly perceptive or what's going on tonight, but you guys keep bringing up really good points that I feel like I need to go back and reiterate on. I mean, you nailed it when you said that people have their preconceived notions.
Mm-hmm.
Those preconceived notions are the reason why there's fucking death threats against Ben Affleck playing Batman, because they have this perfect, unobtainable idea about what Batman is in their head, and they can't let go of the idea that, you know, in order to go see a movie, in order to do this or do that, you know, we have to go and see what Ben Affleck's idea of Batman is, or
right.
Zack Snyder's idea of Batman is, or whatever. I mean, that's just it. It's something that people can't let go of, that, you know, they didn't like it for whatever reason, but this is somebody else's perspective. You know, you don't have to agree with the perspective, but you also have to understand that this is not perfect in your head. I mean, it's never going to be unless you actually, you know, get yourself in a very rarefied position of being able to write or direct or, you know, have something to do with Batman's official canon. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And you know, nowadays, I think we're obviously colored by Christian Bale's portrayal of Batman being so recent.
Recent, sure.
But I really hope they go a different way. I mean, they really... Nolan did a great job of making his Batman films feel very solitary, very much grounded in reality.
Sure.
But with the introduction of Superman into a universe, and obviously after seeing Man of Steel, it's like you have aliens exist and everybody knows it. Changes the world.
Batman doesn't have to be so solitary anymore.
You have to bring in Bat God. can't bring Batman, the human being.
Yeah.
You can't bring in the Nolan Batman.
You can't bring in the Batman who takes 8 years off because he hurt his knee.
Exactly.
You bring in the Batman that is the Batman, really, the Batman from the Justice League cartoon. It's Bat-God, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I don't...
He's 80 steps ahead of everybody.
And I don't understand the criticisms of, you know, quote-unquote Bat-God. I don't get it, and quite frankly, I think it's kind of even shitty to criticize Bat-God.
Sure.
Because I don't want to see a comic book where a guy like me puts on a Batman suit and he goes off and gets shot in two panels.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the story in that? Where's the epicness of that?
I mean, it comes to the bottom line is, like, do you consider Superman a superhero?
Superman's
yes.
God.
Sure.
Do you consider Batman a superhero?
Yes.
Well, then he has to be super.
Yeah.
And obviously, if he's not bench pressing buildings or, you know, running faster than a locomotive, he has the only other thing he can turn to, which is his wits, his intellect, and that sort of thing. And that's where they have to go.
Now, do you think that Affleck is going to be able to pull off the intellect?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I did too. There's a lot of people that like to say this. He seems too dumb.
And I tell them, I'm going to tell them to watch Argo.
Yeah, I would exactly. Yeah, that's something that I've said so many times in the past week is, have you seen Argo? Well, no. Well, then I don't really care what you have to say.
Yes.
Until you see Argo, I really don't care what you have to say because, I mean, that movie really proves it to me, and it really makes me feel just confident that this is going to... And it's not just Argo. I mean, Argo is a perfect, you know
sure.
thing to precede this. I mean, it's perfect to precede this. You know, without it, I'm sure I'd be okay with it, but I wouldn't be as confident as I am now.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that whenever those fanboys are talking about Ben Affleck, they immediately think of the bad movies.
Right.
And that's the problem. Yep. They don't think about, like you say, have you seen Argo? No. So what are you basing your criticism on?
And that's the problem, is they're basing the criticism on Affleck of 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Another question I've asked several times the last couple of weeks is, are you the exact same way now than you were 10 years ago?
Well, no.
And no, absolutely not. And we're talking about the difference between a 31-year-old and a 41-year-old. And a 41-year-old who's been through a very tough 10 years also. I mean, that's something that I don't want to discount. I don't want to discount the bullshit that he went through with J-Lo and everything that he went through with Geely. And everything that he went through, he took some serious time off. I mean, I think that he will be able to draw off of some personal experience there and, you know, maybe bring some of that pain to this character. Now, I don't know if that's what they're gonna go. I mean, they might just go for the four color superhero, I think he could pull that off. He's got the chin for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't see him. I don't see him fucking this up. And I guarantee you, he didn't. I mean, I don't know if you guys heard the newest Babylon, but like Kevin Smith said something really astute. It's like he's not sitting there in his house right now thinking, "Oh boy, I can't wait to fuck this up." And he obviously wants to do a very good job at this, and I think that he's capable.
And he's a Batman fan. He's a long time Batman fan, so he loves the character.
Yeah, and that goes into why he took the job, you know?
Yeah.
It's because I get to fucking be Batman.
I wouldn't turn down being Batman. I mean, I'm fat and missing teeth.
I mean, this is like, be who you can be. Be all that you can be. Unless you can be Batman,
then be Batman.
Always be Batman.
Always be Batman. But, you know, it's like, I don't remember where I read it, but there is even a quote of Ben Affleck from years ago, 10 years ago, maybe a little less, but he was talking about how he would never do another superhero movie again because he didn't like how Daredevil made him feel. He thought that the whole costume thing didn't work for him, and etc. So for him to go back on his word like this, I mean, it means something.
I mean,
and don't feed me this bullshit about being money. Ben Affleck is very wealthy. He doesn't need. I mean, $20 million isn't going to make that big a difference to somebody that already has $300 million. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's money, but he's not doing this for the paycheck, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, you're right. I wanted to say that I hope that they, when they incorporate the new, you know, when they create this new version of Batman, I want to see the detective side of him. I want to see the genius that he is, you know, that he is in the comic books. And
yeah.
That's one thing that I haven't... I've seen little glances in every movie, but I haven't seen the Batman, you know, like, he's like we said, he's 80 steps ahead of everybody. And, in all honesty, if you put him to fight against Superman, he's going to be stupid.
Unless he has
a nuke, and even if you have a nuclear bomb, you can't hurt Superman.
No. Yeah, so, they've got to give him an edge. They've got to give him something that Superman doesn't have. Yeah,
and in this universe, I'm sorry, in this universe, they haven't introduced Kryptonite. That's the only advantage that Batman has. You know, he's smarter than Kal-El. He's smarter than Superman. Yeah. But the thing is, as smart as he is, if you're invulnerable. There's only so much you can do. I mean, you can try to hurt me and throw every kind of thing at me, but you can't hurt me unless you have Kryptonite. So in order for them to even be able to put them against each other, there has to be they're going to have to show why Batman is who he is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, a good friend of Ethan and mine is named Anthony. I now work with him, but he wasn't being a fucking idiot about this, but he didn't like it. He did not like, you know, he did not like Ben Affleck as Batman, you know, when the news first broke, I was, you know, right there with him and I told him, and he's like, eh, and then, you know, he thought about it for a while, and he's like, I don't like it because I don't see him doing action very well. And I said to him, you gotta remember the context that we're gonna be looking at Batman in this movie, where he is going to be up against Superman, so this isn't going to be the fucking Bruce Lee Batman. This is gonna have to be the Sherlock Holmes Batman, the 80 steps ahead of everybody Batman, the guy that figures out the kryptonite weakness, the guy that's smart enough to put a tracking, you know, beacon on him and figure out his, figure out his secret identity just, you know, a couple of steps just a few steps after Kal-El figures it out because he doesn't have fucking, X-ray
X-ray vision, yeah.
And that's something, I mean, I guess we're jumping all over the place and that's fine, but that's something I would love to see. Do you remember that, Ethan, in was that in Justice League or was that in Superman, the cartoon?
That was in Superman, it was World's Finest.
How cool is that? Because, Batman and Superman run into each other for the first time, and then Superman uses X-ray vision, and then looks through and he's like, oh my god, Bruce Wayne, and they do their thing, and then, you know, Superman goes home, and then all of a sudden he hears something, he looks up, and Batman's standing across the window from him, and he has like a homing beacon. And that's perfect. I mean, you know, Superman is more naturally adept for, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, and, you know, Batman is more intellectually equipped for that kind of thing. Superman can just do it. Batman can always figure out how to do it. And I think that's the cool thing, the dichotomy between the two different characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating if they nail this, if they do it right, and so far so good, you know. We got to remember that this is not the Chris Nolan Batman. This is the Batman that's going to fit in that Man of Steel universe. Now, the universe established in Man of Steel.
Follow me here. Now we're just going to get into bullshit armchair whatevers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What if they decide that the Ben Affleck Batman is the Christian Bale Batman?
Oh Jesus, no!
But no! Shut up, Manuel. Now follow me here. It could work because, you know, in the, because you have like the, Begins and Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, you had him figuring out who he was, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, by the time of, Man of Steel, you know, he could be established, and he has to be established by the time of, Batman, whatever this movie is going to be, the Man of Steel sequel. And it would work because they could do a thing to where, like, you know, he had to come back because, you know, say Lex Luthor threw a fit like Ralph Garman did that Superman broke all the fucking buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's got that kind of thing. And, you know, he's going to do something big and bad. And so, you know, Batman would elect to come back. And that would, you know, leave the gates open, you know, to maybe bring back in Joseph Gordon-Levitt as, you know, fucking Nightwing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that can be done, and it can be done well with, like, with the correct writer. Now, granted, I think that they should just leave it alone, because I think they have an opportunity here to start over. I think they need to leave the Nolan trilogy alone. I think they need to let it be its own little thing, and I think they need to kick it up. But it's something they could do. I mean, especially with the Nolan Wayne Enterprises logo popping up in Man of Steel, it is something they could do, and it wouldn't be like, you wouldn't have a lot of room to call bullshit on it. You could say you don't like it, but you wouldn't have a lot of room to call bullshit on it if it's impossible.
Well, I don't know. What do you think, Ethan?
Well, like I said, they shouldn't do it, but they could.
Yeah, I'm in that boat that they should just let it go and let it let Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and Dark Knight Rises be its thing that it is, you know. And I think, though, just based on the ending of Dark Knight Rises, it just wrapped it up fine in my eyes, you know. And I just don't want him to go, because if they brought him back as Bruce Wayne, as that Nolan Batman, that just pretty much erases some of the what made some of the really important elements of that last movie. It's like, why do that?
And also, not to get too deep into it, but it also would erase the possibility of using some of, like, the best ever Batman villains.
Yes.
I mean, unless they go so far as to bring back, you know, Anne Hathaway and Liam Neeson and et cetera. But, you know, I think they should leave it alone. But what I'm saying is, there is enough leeway to where it could be done.
Sure, there is. But
I'm just trying to work it out into my head how to get Joseph Gordon-Levitt back in the Batman. Mm-hmm. It's basically what I'm doing.
That ship has sailed.
At least I got it, motherfucker. At least I got it.
Hey, I think he can still make a good Nightwing.
He could. Yeah, that's what I'm asking for, dude.
Yes.
That's what I'm asking for. Okay, so, alright, here is my question for you guys, and I wonder if it's crossed your minds. Who the hell would the villain be in this movie? Lex Luthor is not a big enough threat to bring in Batman and Superman. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I love Lex Luthor. He's one of the all-time greatest Superman villains, but he's not a big enough threat for there need to be a double team, and I really do not want this to be a Batman versus Superman movie. I mean,
sure.
I'm fine with a couple of scenes, but I don't want that to be the main arc of the story.
Right. Well, I think how it... obviously, Luthor needs to have... I think Luthor needs to be in the next one. But Luthor can't be this, oh, well, he's defeated and he goes to jail type of guy. It's a...
Yeah.
He's very Machiavellian. He's got to be behind the scenes manipulating stuff. And even to the point where even, you know, Batman and Superman know that he's doing it, but there's fuck all they can do about it.
Sure.
And
God, I want a President Luthor story. It doesn't have to be in this movie, but I want it eventually.
Right. But you know, it sort of depends on, because I don't see them doing a Batman Superman and then also introducing like Brainiac or something. You know, that just doesn't fit for
I
yeah, but it would be badass, but it just doesn't fit in the context there.
Yeah. I think it would be fine, but I think that, and you might be right that it might not fit in the context, but we don't need Batman and Superman versus Lex Luthor. I mean, you and me, and maybe Manuel, would fucking love it if it was just a intellectual chess game movie. And Chad would love it too.
Like the most awesome thing
ever. We would love that. You know, we don't need to have a guy wearing a costume and twisting his mustache. We wouldn't need that. But bear in mind, I'm the same guy that said I didn't care if there was any costume villains in The Dark Knight Rises, because I thought it was set up well enough in The Dark Knight where it could have just been Batman versus the mob.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think in order, and I hate to get, you know, I hate to get onto here, but in order to sell some fucking toys, we just saw Superman take out Zod. He can't be up against a guy that...
That's
just like Batman. I mean, unless they make a huge mistake and make Superman a supporting character in this.
No, well, what they've got to do is something along the lines of that World's Finest cartoon. Is something that's got to get Batman into Metropolis.
What was it in that?
Well,
it was Joker.
Ah, okay.
Joker stole that big hunk of kryptonite.
Are we ready for a new Joker?
Oof.
Would that be kind of yucky right now?
Yeah, he has to be. I think he has to be in a Batman movie, not in a Man of Steel movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you got to give him at least a few years.
Yeah, let the guy like float away first or whatever.
But I think the way to bring in not Batman but Bruce Wayne in and Lex Luthor would be the whole the destruction of Metropolis. And Lex will try to sleaze his way in and make it
to that end. I mean, that could be something that brings Bruce Wayne in. I mean, it could be a competing thing with Wayne Industries and Luthor Corp.
Lex and Wayne would be contemporaries.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
No, go ahead, Manuel.
They could be like Lex Luthor and bring in Bruce Wayne, or they join forces to rebuild Metropolis, and. But Lex, of course, has his other agenda.
Yeah.
And I think the only way to put Lex, besides the intellect, of course, but I think bringing Lex and Batman, in order for them to fight with a Superman or being in conflict, I think that would be the perfect segue to bring in, to introduce the Kryptonite thing.
Yeah.
Lex trying to investigate where Superman comes from and all that stuff, finds Kryptonite and Bruce because he's Bruce Wayne, and because he's Batman, he's gonna find it as well, and that could be, you know, the part of the story. But yeah, if they don't bring in that element, I don't think. I mean, there's no point of. I mean, he would have to be like Ethan said. He would have to be behind the scenes and moving. He's like mm-hmm. moving the chess pieces.
Yeah, but
it would have to be a big threat in order for Batman and Superman to join forces. Yeah.
Definitely that double agenda, though, would work in there, you know,
it has to be, it's Lex Luthor.
Yeah, and you know, they playing both of them against each other type of thing, and you know,
and
sort
that
of...
That would be alright, but...
You know, Batman thinks that Superman is this menace, and then figures out that actually this dude he's been doing business with is actually this horrible person.
Exactly.
You know, and it could be along the lines of he's developing, I mean, it could be Metallo, it could be, you know, something that Luthor is funding, designing, something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you honestly see that movie happening, though, Ethan? I would love it, but it wouldn't. I could not see there being a superhero movie without a costume villain. And Lex Luthor wouldn't cut it. I mean, he's got to have somebody on his side. I mean,
well, he's got to be the brain, and then he's got to have someone. He's got to have something that's something, some sort of force that he can send out there that is, you know.
Well, Metallo makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know,
but
I mean,
again,
the whole Kryptonite angle.
Exactly,
I mean,
yeah. That's the whole thing. Again, with the Kryptonite, that's the only way to really hurt Superman.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Superman is such a difficult character to write. We talked about it before.
Yeah.
And because that's the only thing that can really hurt him. You know, there's a few things here and there, but that Kryptonite thing, they're gonna have to introduce it in the second movie, because if not, it's again, he's gonna be God against man again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, I'm glad that we avoided the Smallville syndrome of there being fucking Kryptonite everywhere.
Yeah.
And there was zero mention of it whatsoever in this movie. But I do think in order to, you know, to keep true to the source material, we do need to bring it in at some point.
Yeah.
And if you're dealing with somebody like Batman and Lex Luthor, you'd think it'd be coming in.
Yeah, in this last movie, there were Kryptonians running around. I mean, it's logical to say that they, after all of that destruction, some kryptonite could be, there should be some kryptonite out there at this point.
It's fine. And even if they don't do that angle, if you're dealing with intellects like Bruce Wayne and Lex Luthor, then it isn't that big of a stretch to see them just figuring out on their own.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, either way, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. We're going to have another fucking Batman in the movie theaters in less than 2 years. That's really awesome to me.
Hell yeah.
Really awesome to me. So.
Yep.
Okay, so what else do we need before we can stick a fork in this bitch?
I don't know.
I think we sort of hit it, really. I do have a question for you guys. Robin or no Robin?
Oh my God, I was just thinking that.
Not yet.
But yeah,
well, then again, if he's established, we can bring him in this movie.
Yep.
I mean, we don't have to deal with him, you know, running it. I want Robin in a movie, and I want Robin done well.
Yeah.
It does beg the question of which Robin, but I think it would be kind of a foregone conclusion that it would be Dick.
It also begs the question of Alfred.
What about him?
Do you think he'd logically be in this movie?
No.
He wouldn't logically be in it, but he could be in it.
He could be driving him around.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that he wouldn't be in it in any capacity, but, maybe they wouldn't have to. And then there's also the whole, Gordon angle.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, we're probably going to be dealing with Metropolis here, it's hard to think of Batman without Robin, without Gordon, without, these different characters, because, as much as he's the loner type, he does have his extended family that really does support him.
I would love to see the whole Bat, not in this movie, but I would love to see eventually the whole Bat family.
Yeah, the evolution of Batman.
Little by little.
Isn't that Barbara Rose Batgirl?
Oh. No, not her.
Rose Batgirl.
Stephanie Brown.
Fuck Stephanie Brown.
And we know we eventually want to see Hush on film, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Hush.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, now you're teasing me, man.
I know.
Yeah, that'd be fine with me. I mean, fuck, maybe that's what the Justice League movie can be, Hush.
Yeah, fuck the rest of Justice League.
Fuck the rest of Justice League. Superman kind of played into it. Fucking Poison Ivy took over him. And, I fucking love that story. It's probably one of my all-time favorite Batman stories.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, guys, so I think the moral of the story here is chill the fuck out about Batfleck. It's going to be okay. If I'm sorry, but there has never been a god-awful just wanting to gouge my fucking eyeballs out casting in Batman with the very few exceptions, and I'm talking Batman and Robin. And I will still argue that Schwarzenegger worked as Freeze for what they're trying to get out of him.
Yeah.
I'll argue that. But, I think that Uma Thurman was, miscast as Ivy, but I do think that Warner Brothers kind of has, they know what they're doing with Batman, and I think that they've earned our trust to just calm the fuck down and not threaten to kill Ben Affleck, for the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
Jesus Christ. Okay, guys, anything else?
No, I think that's enough of a stab at it, really.
Nothing
more bad. Stop bitching, people. You know you're going to see it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you're not, shut the fuck up. Get off my lawn and shut the fuck up.
Now, before we leave the topic of Batman, did you catch the news that came out of Comic-Con about Son of Batman?
I did not. Let's talk about this.
It was announced on
the new animated movie.
The new animated one
oh,
of the
hell yeah.
is Son of Batman, based on Grant Morrison's Batman and Son.
Fucking love that story.
It's coming out. Yeah.
Oh hell yeah! I love that story.
They also announced they're doing Batman, a new animated feature, Assault on Arkham, set in the same universe as the Arkham video games.
Cool. I love Batman and Son. Love that. You know that. We know that's one of the first ever casting couches we did. I mean, I love that story. I love Damian. You got some cool ass man bat action going on in that flick. Almost kills Tim.
Yep.
Oh my god, I love that story. Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, well, I wanted just to leave you with that little tidbit if you hadn't heard about it, which is fantastic.
Have you seen Flashpoint yet?
I have not. I haven't seen that or Superman Unbound yet.
Superman Unbound is badass. I like Flashpoint a lot, except for the art. I did not like the art, but, they made a decision and whatever. They made a choice.
You mean the art, like in the animation?
In the animation.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like it. It was just too blocky. They looked like they got stung by bees.
It's kind of, it has an anime feel.
Yeah. Whatever it is, I didn't like it. Okay, well, I think at this point we're going to call this show done. I don't know exactly what's happening, but I think we're going to have a frequency change here pretty soon coming up. Ethan's got Arya coming, so he's going to be kind of a busy daddy kind of guy. So we're talking about moving this down to bi-weekly and just doing every other week, maybe sometimes doing stuff on the off weeks, but that should be good. We'll be figuring some shit out, but... I mean, you guys have anything to add? I mean, I think we're going to still keep trying to do Truthful Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, says Manuel.
We're not going to try. We will.
We will. So you better buy my fucking ass computer. That's all I got to say. If you want it edited, you will. Alrighty. So I guess until next time, that makes me Aaron.
And that makes me Ethan.
And,
Let your bat flag fly.
Let your bat flag fly. I am bat flag. I got nothing. I don't know.
I am bat flag. Give me more. Yeah.
I am bat flag.
Bat flag.
Bat flag.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman.
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 There is a song the good folks sing.
Song the good folks sing.
Batman, about a hero on the wing.
Hero on the wing, Batman!
I am Gotham's darkest night, the villain's darkest fright. Turn on the signal light
for Batman!
Batman. Don't you?
Lighten up, it's your birthday.
Don't remind me.
Good work, Cape Crusader. Once again, you've saved our fair city from those vile miscreants.
They were no problem, Commissioner. For as we all know, criminals are a superstitious, cowardly lot. They plan and plot, but they always get caught.
Their evil schemes all come to naught. A superstitious, cowardly lot.
It took me weeks to get tickets for this show. It's Schwein.
It's Schwarbage. Excuse me. One side, please. Move!
A superstitious, cowardly lot. They plan and plot, but they always get caught. Their evil schemes all come to naught.